everybody. Welcome to our podcast today. I'm Josh Quadi, the college age minister at the church, and we are starting a four-week series on emotional health. And each week we want to tackle a different issue that college students face all the time. And we'd like to, every week, start with a story of a student who has dealt with that particular emotional health issue. And so today, I'm really happy to have my friend Ashley join us. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, how's it going?
Going really, really good. How about yourself?
Doing good, doing good. Living the dream.
Living the dream. So tell us about yourself, Ashley.
So I am 22. I'm a student at Missouri Southern and also Ozark Christian College. I'm getting my degree in social work and Christian ministry, and I'm from Belton, Texas.
Belton, Texas.
Woo! Go Tigers.
That's your team mascot from high school?
Yep.
And you're still repping?
Always, always.
Yeah. You were a cheerleader, right?
Yes, but not for the high school, just competitively.
Oh, competitively. The high school wasn't, it was too below your standards?
I wasn't going to pay $3,000 to sit on the sidelines. I was going to pay $3,000 to go to Disney World.
Wait, what? You had to pay $3,000?
Yeah, to be a high school cheerleader.
What?
Yeah.
Is that a normal thing?
I think it's just a Texas thing.
Really?
I really do. Because you got to go to camp and all that stuff. And I mean, our high school squad was actually pretty good. And they went to NCAA and won all the time. So
holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I got to go back a few years. Okay. So we had we're spring break. We go to Asheville, North Carolina.
Yep.
We're staying at an orphanage. Or we're working with people who are from an orphanage. And they asked us if we would like to go support their basketball team. They were in a city league. You remember this?
I do.
And so there was, I think, 120 of us that year on this trip. And so we roll up there. We don't really know what to expect. We go to this gym, and we are thinking, you know, it's little kid basketball. And so we have like, everybody's got signs, you know, that they made. And, like,
people have their bellies painted.
Yeah, some body paint. And we're going to go support these third and fourth graders play. And we roll up, and it was mostly high schoolers and playing against grown men in the city league. But it didn't stop us.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. No, we actually, I think we put me and another girl in the air.
Yeah.
Just, like, cheering for him, and it was great.
But what's great is there was, like, maybe 10 people there that weren't us in the stands. Yeah. So there's 10 people that were kind of, you know, like wives and kids and friends and stuff like that. And then 120 college students that nobody's ever met before.
They were definitely overwhelmed. Very confused.
Okay. That has nothing really to do with what we're talking about today, but I love that we talked about that.
Yeah.
That was a good memory.
Throwing it back.
Because you were really good. Like, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, a little. Kind of.
But if you were competitive,
yeah,
you obviously knew what you were doing. Okay. Yeah. All right. So backing up. All right. So we are talking about emotional health issues. And this week we're focusing on anxiety.
Yeah.
And so I'm asking you here because you have a history of dealing with anxiety. So would you help us kind of understand what that means to you, you know, anxiety from your story?
Yeah. So anxiety is something I've always struggled with since I was little. To me, the best way to describe it is just like being in a constant state of nervousness. Even if there's nothing really from like an external source that's kind of like attacking you or, anything else, it's just like a constant, it's almost like, have you ever heard the saying of like, my brain is like a computer and I have 1,000 tabs open. That's just kind of what it's like. You're constantly thinking about things you have to do, things that are going on around you or maybe aren't going on around you that you just are worrying about that might happen. And so, like I said, you don't even need to be in a state of chaos or anything. You're just constantly nervous or worrying about something. And it feels weird if you don't have something to worry about.
And so you said you started dealing with this when you were younger?
Yeah. My mom said even when I was like just a year old, I would be picking at my blankets or like just I constantly had to be doing something. And I think that's just from like genetics because I know that anxiety is something that can be passed down. And then also just growing up in a chaotic environment is,
Okay. And so how did that First of all, I'm sorry that you had to deal with that at a young age.
No, you know, it's okay.
Just genetically and then the chaotic environment, that's no fun
for
anybody to have to go through that. How did you become aware? You know, how did you know this is anxiety? You know, mm-hmm. How did you know how to understand yourself?
Yeah, I think once I just started experiencing a lot of panic attacks and things like that, that was just kind of like when I knew, okay, something's not right. And then my freshman year of high school, I actually started going to counseling, and then that's when they diagnosed me with generalized anxiety disorder with slight paranoia. So at that point, I was like, oh, okay, this is real. It's not something, because at that time, I had a lot of friends who would just like talk about basically romanticizing mental health issues. And so it was something that I didn't really want to talk about because I was like, well, I don't want my friends to think that I'm saying this because I want to be cool or whatever. But then it just was like, okay, this is real and this is something that I'm going to have to learn how to deal with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your willingness to talk about this.
Yeah.
There's a stigma sometimes mm-hmm. that are on mental health issues that aren't on our physical health issues.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty open to talk about, you know, broken bones, jammed fingers, you know, mm-hmm. like things that happen like that. But we're really reluctant to talk about mental health issues, which in my mind are in a similar category.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, and to get those treatments. So thank you for your willingness to just kind of talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now help us understand what that means, the general anxiety disorder with that paranoia. Help us understand.
So it's kind of like what I said earlier, just a constant state of worrying, and you just are always thinking about, okay, well, what's going to happen next? What's like, even in like good states, it's like, okay, something bad is going to happen to me and I just know it. But with the slight paranoia, that basically just comes from like, again, living in a chaotic environment, but it's just like I either think people don't like me or that they hate me or something bad's going to happen to me. It's just basically like almost like looking over your shoulder all the time of what's coming next, what's coming next, what's coming next, even if nothing is coming from it. Mm-hmm. And so unless people tell me otherwise, like, hey, I love you, or hey, I don't hate you, I just make the automatic assumption when I first meet people, that they don't like me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have such a bubbly personality. Like everybody likes you. So there had to be, you know, times where you're, you know, because you've dealt with this your whole life. There's mm-hmm. times where you've probably had really good times and mm-hmm. really low times. How do you manage either one of those?
I think when it comes to the really good times, almost the really good times can almost be harder when I'm trying to manage my anxiety because it's like mm-hmm. things shouldn't be going this well. Mm. Like something's going to happen or like I don't deserve things to be going this well. So it's just reminding myself of like, okay, no, like I'm being blessed and I should be grateful for like where I'm at. And just having this sense of gratitude for just Christ and my community. And also just like being super open and vulnerable with my community has been a really big thing of just saying, hey, I'm struggling with this. Especially mm-hmm. that comes into play a lot with like the low times of mm-hmm. like, hey guys, this is getting really bad. Or just letting my community know, like, just kind of what to look out for with me. Mm-hmm. If they see these certain patterns, that at that point, it's probably something's going on and they need to step in and just talk to me about it. And so mm-hmm. just really stabilizing myself in the truth of knowing who I am and that my anxiety doesn't define me. And that, like, the Lord created me and he loves me and my community loves me, has also been super awesome. Mm-hmm. And just like different grounding techniques, like breathing techniques. One of my techniques is actually, I have to tell myself 10 things that I know are absolute truths. Mm-hmm. And so that helps me kind of like regain control, mm-hmm. any time that I feel like I'm not in control of like my own brain or my own body. Mm-hmm.
And so where did you learn? I mean, you're talking about some very specific techniques. Mm-hmm. Where did you learn those from?
So I actually started going to counseling a couple years ago. And so my counselor was the one that told me, like, hey, you should try out these breathing techniques if you're experiencing, like, insane anxiety or, like, this, like, grounding technique just to make sure that you're staying in the present. And I think also some of the other things that I've learned has just been from my friends. Like, a lot of us, especially in college, are dealing with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so just being open and talking to all of them of, like, what works for you or, hey, you mm-hmm. should try this out. Mm-hmm. Has been really good and really helpful.
One of the things that we're excited about is one of my dear friends who's a doctorate of counseling. Mm-hmm. We actually did a podcast with him that we're releasing tomorrow that talks about here's some specific tools and techniques like you're referring to for those who deal with anxiety, how mm-hmm. to be able to, those who do, everyone deals with anxiety on some level.
Yeah.
So these are tools that we can all use to help us out. Have you also used, has medication been a part of your treatment? Has it been part of helping you out?
Yeah, it actually has. I started medication my freshman year of college. And then I was kind of going through like a really good transition period. So I weaned myself off of it. And then I kind of just got hit by a train at one point. And so I actually had to be put back on medication, but it's just a different kind that I feel like works a lot better for me. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get rid of the anxiety, but it helps keep it in a constant state. So it's not like I'm experiencing a roller coaster all the time. Mm-hmm. It's pretty just general, which helps me control it a lot better. So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. It, you know, like I said, why would we not get the help that our minds need mm-hmm. and whatever tool that is that can help us get through this?
Yeah.
So kind of what's your approach now? You know, like you've been, you know, diagnosed, you've gotten obviously lots of wins and you're understanding yourself more and more, mm-hmm. you know, kind of what's your outlook for your future as someone who deals with anxiety?
I think it's, the way that I have approached going into my future is just really focusing on being present in the Lord. I know that that's kind of like, okay, well, what does that even mean? You know? But one spiritual practice that I've been really trying to implement is just seeking out things that are only like divinely put there in a sense of like, okay, I know that God did that in order to let me know that he's there, especially when it comes to, like, future opportunities and things like that, and just knowing that God wouldn't give me something that is going to hurt me, mm-hmm. And just remaining faithful in that, but also really leaning on him and the people that he's put in my life, so my community, my mentors, my professors and things like that, just willing to have people pour into me. Mm-hmm. And so that way I can pour into other people as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's just also remaining in the truth of mm-hmm. what everything is, of who I am, and not just in what my brain can create sometimes that mm-hmm. aren't true. So just reminding myself of the simple truths and the simple gospel.
Mm-hmm. And so that's awesome. And so what advice would you give to someone who's presently dealing with anxiety or has a history of diagnosed or undiagnosed anxiety?
I think my first thing would be to seek help, whether that's just from friends or family, or even if you like want to go to a physician. I think it's important that we just start talking about it. Mm-hmm. And not in a way that romanticizes it, because I don't think that that's helpful. Mm. I think that that sometimes can undermine people who are actually dealing with things.
What do you mean romanticize it?
I think people are like, oh my gosh, I have anxiety. It's almost like an accessory, and that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, something that people are struggling with.
Right.
And so I think just being able to sit down and say, this isn't cute, like, this makes me feel bad.
Right.
And just being able to talk about it and work through those things, and just know that, like, it's not bad to have it.
Yeah.
It's not taboo as, like, it's been perceived in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That it's okay to deal with these things, and, like, it's okay to be nervous, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the big thing. My biggest set of advice is, like, it is okay that you're dealing with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And just really just stay grounded in truths that you know are absolute truths, that you are loved, and I'm kind of like, feel like I'm repeating myself, but
no, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and there is counseling services offered both at Ozark and at Missouri Southern.
Yeah.
There's some great counseling resources in Joplin, you know, and so there's options out there to be able to talk to people and professionals to get those help that, you know, sometimes people need.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, listen, Ashley, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
For your willingness to come and share and to be so transparent. It's very brave of you anytime to just talk so openly about struggles that you deal with internally. And so I know you're not alone.
Yeah.
And sometimes that little bit of transparency can unlock the permission for someone else to also be transparent about the struggles that they're going through.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. And we do invite you tomorrow to check out our podcast with the counselor, Dr. Melton, and to get some tips and tools to be able to maybe help you or a friend of yours through anxiety issues that they may be feeling. And then as we continue throughout this entire series, make sure you check our Instagram at CH College Age. And you can find links in our bio, scripture verses about anxiety and some and other emotional health issues that we'll be dealing with over this next month. Thank you for listening.